This is Brian Cambria with news for the KVNF listening area Wednesday, April 18th, 2012. In today's stories, state legislators take up wage disparity between men and women, and they also consider a bill about civil unions. Ariana has a story about Delta County commissioners and exploration for oil and gas in the North Fork. The Pinyon Ridge Mill is still stirring controversy. Mesa County joins the voices speaking against the BLM over oil shale. And Gunnison County makes an interesting deal regarding gas exploration. The state Senate has unanimously passed a resolution calling for equal pay and highlighting the disparity in wages between men and women. Benta Berkland has more for us from the state capitol.
According to recent figures from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, Colorado women who work full-time earn 79% as much as men who also work full-time. And even though every lawmaker voted for the equal pay resolution, it still generated a hearty debate.
We already have direct, clear, unambiguous laws against sex discrimination.
That's Republican Senator Sean Mitchell of Broomfield. He says women earning less money than men often have very different types of jobs.
In fact, men experience 92% of workplace fatalities. Does that make those jobs more hazardous, less desirable? In a free economy subject to supply and demand, does that suggest that there would be some kind of upward pressure on those wages?
Several Republican women argued that women also tend to value flexibility in the work environment and sometimes take lower pay for these different types of benefits. But Democratic Senator Irene Aguilar of Denver says pay discrimination happens.
Even in comparable jobs like manufacturing, for example, women are still making 74 cents on the dollar compared to men. Women with doctoral degrees are often paid less than men with master's degrees. And so it's something very subtle that's happening. I think some of what we need is probably for women to go out and find out more what men are making in their same positions and perhaps raise a stink about it.
The equal pay resolution is non-binding, meaning that while lawmakers agree on the matter, they're not legislating any changes. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
After weeks of sitting on the legislative calendar, a bill to allow civil unions is on the move again. It cleared the Senate Appropriations Committee yesterday on a party-line vote. The next stop is a full debate on the Senate floor. Here's Benta Berkland again with more for us from the state capitol.
With less than a month left in the session, the fate of the civil unions bill will be one of the last big issues lawmakers debate before adjourning. The bill is expected to easily pass the Democratic-controlled Senate. Democratic sponsor Senator Pat Stedman of Denver says he expects bipartisan support.
The bill picks up more and more support with each passing day. And with each passing day, we are closer to our goal.
Last session, the Senate's three Republican women voted for the bill. The measure ultimately failed in the Republican-controlled House Judiciary Committee. Governor John Hickenlooper has said he'll sign the bill if it reaches his desk. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
On Monday, the Delta County commissioners finalized their comment letter to the Bureau of Land Management regarding the first round of environmental analysis of the proposal to lease nearly 30,000 acres in the North Fork Valley for oil and gas development. KVNF's Ariana Brocious has this report.
In the first round of public comment, the commissioners asked the BLM to defer all the parcels nominated for the August lease sale until the revision of the agency's guiding document on public lands, called a resource management plan, is completed. They did so because the revision of that plan is already underway, and they believe the review process would address many of the concerns and questions that their constituents have about the adequacy of the current plan, which is 23 years old. This time, they've backed off a little. The Monday letter explains that the commissioners do not support the no-action alternative, which would remove the proposed lease parcels from sale entirely. Nor do they ask for all the parcels to be deferred until after the new resource management plan is complete, probably sometime next year. Instead, they support the alternative the BLM is suggesting, which defers about 20% of the total acreage because of steep slopes. In addition, they ask for deferrals of another 7 parcels, wholly or in part, because they are within watersheds of domestic water sources for the towns of Paonia, Hotchkiss, and Crawford, as well as private water and irrigation companies. They also ask for 2 other parcels to be deferred because of surface conflicts with the Hawkshaven subdivision and the county's closed North Fork landfill and current North Fork Trash Transfer Station. Both local conservation groups are urging the BLM to take the no-action alternative. During the county commissioner meeting on Monday, Sarah Sauter of the Enfrio-Wizert Conservation Center encouraged the commissioners to stick to their first request, saying, "Your first instinct was the right one." Sauter added that the North Fork Valley is a special place, and it needs special protection. The comment period on this first round of environmental review ends on Friday. The agency will then process the comments and release the final environmental review for additional comment. For KVNF News, I'm Ariana Brocious.
The public fight continues between Telluride-based Sheep Mountain Alliance and the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment over the public process involved in the approval of a radioactive materials license for the proposed Pinyon Ridge uranium mill. The Montrose Daily Press reports that regional environmental groups are upset over being excluded from a meeting yesterday between the State Health Department and the Federal Nuclear Regulatory Commission to evaluate the state's nuclear regulatory program. The groups wanted to observe the hearing and have it open to the public, but the request was denied. That's the latest move in a series of exchanges between the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and Sheep Mountain Alliance and other groups in recent weeks, related to the involvement of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in reviewing the department's approval of a radioactive materials license for the proposed Pinyon Ridge uranium mill. The Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment and Sheep Mountain Alliance have an ongoing lawsuit over the license. The press reports that the suit alleges inadequate public participation, failure to consider technical information, groundwater contamination issues, and inadequate financial assurance. Colorado is an agreement state, meaning the Nuclear Regulatory Commission has no authority over uranium milling to the state, says the CDPHE. Several groups, including the town of Telluride and San Miguel County, asked to observe yesterday's meeting. The press reports that the NRC said that was fine and up to the state, but the CDPHE denied the request, saying it's an administrative meeting that only involves government staff. According to the press, a summary of the meeting will be posted to the NRC website in about a month, and there will be a subsequent NRC CDPHE management review meeting that is open to the public. Mesa County commissioners have signed on with other county commissions from the Western Slope, Eastern Utah, and Southwestern Wyoming in condemning the Bureau of Land Management's proposal to slash the amount of public land available for oil shale research. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, in a unanimously approved, strongly worded resolution similar to ones adopted by Garfield and Rio Blanco counties, the board called upon the BLM to cease all activities related to the current draft environmental impact statement and extend the public comment period on the draft statement beyond the current May 4th deadline. As KVNF has reported, several county leaders in the oil shale rich areas of western Colorado, eastern Utah, and southwestern Wyoming are objecting to the BLM's modification of the Bush administration's 2008 decision that called for leasing 2 million acres in those three states for possible commercial oil shale development and 431,000 acres for tar sands activities. The agency's preferred alternative in the proposed proposal, unveiled in February, reduces oil shale acreage to 462,000 acres and tar sands acreage to 91,000 acres. Approximately 20 people testified in the hour-and-a-half-long hearing, with some in favor of the modification and others opposed. At times, the meeting got a little heated. A few cited the upcoming 30th anniversary of Exxon's decision to close its oil shale plant in Garfield County, sending western Colorado into a decade-long economic tailspin, as proof of the need to use caution. Some said they were offended by the wording of the county's resolution and called it inflammatory, particularly one section that asserted current economic and political conditions could lead to a civil uprising. Others applauded the resolution and insisted that access to sufficient land to conduct research, along with consistent government policies, is necessary for companies to be able to determine the viability of oil shale production. The testimony and comments highlighted to the discordant views and disagreement as to whether oil shale development is economically viable and environmentally safe. A state agency this week signed off on a landmark agreement that will allow Gunnison County to conduct its own inspections of oil and gas operations. According to the Grand Junction Daily Sentinel, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission unanimously approved the agreement, which has been reviewed and approved in principle by the county and two energy developers in the county, Gunnison Energy and SG Interests. The agreement is the first of its kind in Colorado and is being looked to as one means of potentially addressing desires by local communities to have more say over oil and gas development. Tensions over oil and gas regulation have increased as drilling spread to more parts of Colorado in recent years. Governor John Hickenlooper recently appointed a task force to clarify and better coordinate regulatory jurisdiction between state and local government. That group agreed there needs to be better use of an existing process by which the commission works with local government designees. It has pointed to a need to look at the example set by the Gunnison County agreement. Ken Wanstelin, who sat on the task force but spoke Monday as an attorney representing SG Interests, said SG Interests is pleased with the final agreement and how it addressed concerns the company raised. Colorado law allows the state to delegate inspection, but not enforcement authority over the oil and gas industry. The state will provide training for local inspectors. The Grand Junction Daily Sentinel is also reporting that due to new snow over the weekend, Kebler Pass isn't expected to be open to the public for at least 2 more weeks. Marlene Crosby, director of the Gunnison County Public Works Department, said Gunnison County road crews reported 20 inches of snow Sunday on Kebler. Crosby said the new snow will extend the time needed to allow the mostly unpaved road to dry enough for travel. Crosby said the county's Public Works Department has barricaded both ends of the pass with concrete barriers. Kebler Pass connects Crested Butte with Colorado Highway 133 at Paonia Dam. And finally, admission to the national parks is free during National Park Week, starting Saturday and running through April 29th. That means all 397 parks in the system will let you just roll right on in without having to sit in one of those long lines wondering what in the heck the car in front of you could possibly be doing next to the ranger window for 15 minutes. You can visit nps.gov for info on the park nearest you or tips on planning a trip, and for more information about National Park Week events and contests. It's wise to have some idea of what you want to do, since the free week, as well as the free weekends spread throughout the year, is among the busiest. This concludes the KVNF Morning Newscast. For KVNF News, I'm Brian Cambria.